90.3.
This is Near FM. Near FM.
I am joined now by Suzanne Keating, CEO of Docus, and she's going to discuss why women's jobs are twice as vulnerable as men's and why we are losing large volumes of women are leaving the workforce as a result of the current pandemic. Hello, Suzanne. How are you this morning?
Hello and good afternoon to you, Adrian.
Good afternoon. Yes, it's after 12.
Just about.
So, women's jobs are more vulnerable. Tell us about this. Why people are having to leave the workforce and why women's jobs are more vulnerable than men.
Yeah, no, and thanks for having me on the show. I work for Docus, which is the Association of Irish International Development Agencies, so working in developing countries. And I suppose what we're finding is that under the pandemic, that the situation for women, particularly around work, particularly around homeschooling, and indeed because so many of them are healthcare workers, they're really suffering under the pandemic. And I suppose what we're seeing is that that inequality that was always there has just got that much worse. I think it's important for your listeners to know, I think we feel it here already in Ireland, don't we? We feel that burden, whether we're homeschoolers ourselves and where our own work and jobs are slightly more vulnerable. But imagine if you're in a developing country where we don't have some of those protections that we have here, just a simple social protection net, or where fragile health services can't even cope with normal things that we would expect when you go to your GP, but now they're also having to deal with the pandemic as well. And then when it comes to schooling, you know, we've seen a lot of our schools close and we've been able to switch. I've got my two kids next door. They've been able to go online, but in many developing countries, there simply isn't the tech solutions there. So really what we're saying is that, you know, under COVID, it's got so much worse for women and girls.
And you've been trying to ask now, you've been at, was it the UN World Women's Conference? Were you, was that done online?
Well, more recently, we went in front of the Irish Joint Foreign Affairs Committee, where we've really wanted to put on their agenda to give some more urgency, to get the conversation going within government and within political parties to really prioritise this issue, both here in Ireland, but also through their international development programme, to the funding that they give to Irish NGOs, to really give some urgency to this and to really champion this issue.
Yes, unfortunately, it's not something that is just within COVID. You know, it may have been getting worse at the moment, but it's something that's always been there. I mean, we know we've been fighting pay scales, you know, different, where women may be at the same job or the same level and their salary is no way like their male counterpart. So, and then of course the childminding, the women having to take time off work, you know, where the man wouldn't. Whereas I would have thought that this COVID and this pandemic would have been a more leveler, you know, but unfortunately it's not. As you say, an awful lot of the jobs that they're in are they're losing those jobs. Those jobs are going, or else they're on the front line in the nursing end of things. So what are you putting forward then as a way to try to bridge this gap or to try to solve this problem?
Yeah, first, just to say, you know, I very much agree with you. This COVID pandemic isn't the leveller. You know, we very much use that phrase. It might be the same storm, but very, very different boats. And I think what we've seen is that where there was kind of structural inequalities or where there were problems before, COVID has really just exacerbated those or accelerated them. And when you look at a lot of the statistics around gender equality, around domestic violence, around the impact of conflict and displacement on women and girls. You know, they really are in very different boats, and it really is a very difficult situation. In fact, where we've seen progress over decades, just over the last year or so, we're seeing all of that progress regress. We've stepped back. I think there's one great phrase that just in the 25 weeks of the first lockdown, we may have gone back by 25 years when we look at things like vaccine programs, when we look at kind of the progress made around girls' education, the progress made around raising awareness around female genital mutilation and child marriage. But what we are asking for, you know, kind of four main things, although I'm sure there are many more. I mean, the first very much and very kind of upfront for us all here is around the vaccine rollout. It's very much the sense that we need to get this vaccine everywhere, in Ireland, in Europe, in Britain, in our neighbours, but also globally. I like to see that image that this isn't a kind of race to the line for each nation to get their populations vaccinated. We need to think of it more like a three-legged race. Yes, we need to get everybody vaccinated in Ireland, in European countries, but also in developing countries. We all need to cross that line together, because unless everyone's safe, no one's safe. So that's a really important and clear message, where I think there's been a lot of conversation that simply that attention on vaccine supply in developing countries isn't there enough. I suppose our second kind of interest or message here is that we've really got to keep that priority on gender inequality. There hasn't been enough in terms of programming. As I say, we have gone back a little bit. I think we hear, for example, when it comes to child marriages, just this 1 year delay in interventions because of COVID means there are possibly 7 million more girls who will be forced into marriages. 7 million just from that 1 year of delay. So we need to get back to where we were in terms of tackling issues around gender inequality. I suppose the third thing for us is that in order to do that, we do need to see that continuous level of funding. It is important to say here the Irish government have been great during COVID. They have kept that funding level up, particularly for Irish NGOs. There's been real flexibility there. There's been real support, but we need to keep that going. And again, traditionally, the money going to girls' education, to things like women's health and rights, just has been traditionally very, very low. We need to see that funding commitment not only continue, but ideally to increase. And last but not least, this is an issue that I think we need to see more of even before COVID. There needs to be much greater collaboration around issues around gender equality. And I think when I see about our own experience here in Ireland, that massive successes that we had with our own referendums around marriage equality or the Eighth Amendment, to me, one of the strengths of that is that we were all willing to have conversations within our own families, within our own generations. We also seen some brilliant Irish women's leadership. And what I'm saying here is, let's see that now on a global scale. There's so much more to learn from other countries, from these amazing women in so many different developing countries. We need to start working together on this issue.
Oh yes, most definitely. And speaking of leadership, we need to have more women in power, in leadership, because just looking at even at the way the pandemic is being approached here, I think if we had an awful lot more women in there at those meetings, different things would be done, you know, different things would be opening or different things would be done, you know, even with around the children's shoes issue and, you know, simple things like that, that, you know, with women's input, I think things could be a whole lot different and a whole lot better.
Yeah, no, and I absolutely agree. But, you know, let's remember the positive when women are around the table and they are given the space to participate. They really feel that sense that we get much more rounded responses. Let's remember that idea that, you know, women make up more than 51% of the population. I mean, it goes without saying that we have to be at the table. And I suppose here's another one that's interesting. I mean, Ireland at the moment has a massive leadership role to play because it is currently sitting around the table of the UN Security Council. And what we've been saying is, you know, there's some really good kind of conventions and laws and all the rest around focusing on women in conflict and all the rest. But what we have to do now is make sure that they're around the table and in a way where they're really showing their potential. And that takes time and patience and long-term commitment. We've got to make sure that that happens, particularly now.
Most definitely. So how can people then get involved? How can people get out this message for you and help in any way?
Well, I think it's partly through conversations like this, and really appreciate given the time. As I say, it's about the conversations. And I suppose for me, even preparing for this interview, I was thinking, why is this so important to me? And you know, across the way in her bedroom, I have my 13-year-old daughter there. And I think, what would it be like for her if she was in a developing country where suddenly under COVID, you know, she wasn't getting any education. She was forced to go out to work because I'd lost my job. There was no food on the table. It really brings home just the importance of some of this work. So again, I'd be saying to your listeners, please look up Irish International Development Agencies. There's some people doing some brilliant work out there, whether it's Plan International, there's GOAL, Christian Aid, Action Aid Ireland, Oxfam, Trochra Concern. There's a whole group of these amazing Irish NGOs. So I'd be really encouraging your listeners to look up their work, look up their websites, see what they're doing to support women's equality and this gender work. And also, though, when it comes to looking at the government, go reach out to your TD. Ask them, what's the government commitment to gender equality for developing countries?
Yes, that's it. That's all they have to do. And try and get involved then themselves as well. That's it. Your 13-year-old now should be the future of politics. Because if she's anyway a good speaker like yourself, I'd say we'd be okay. We'd be in good hands.
So, well, no, thanks for that. But again, I think it is. I really believe on this issue, we have the answers. We've got these amazing women. We've got these amazing kids. We've got to make sure that they can reach their potential so that we can solve this issue once and for all.
Yes, most definitely. Well, it's been a joy to talk to you this morning, Suzanne. And I'm sure we'll have you on speaking again at some stage in the future.
Thanks. It's been a real pleasure, and happy Easter to you and to all your listeners. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day. Take care.
90.3. This is Near FM.